Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Welcome back into another episode of Poetry Tavern. My name's Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about sonnets. Any of them? And, I mean, also there's a type of sonnet named after him, the stanza breakdown of 4-4-4-2. So it's like he's got the market on them cornered in a lot of people's brains. But I think there's so many more interesting sonnets that are out there. And I knew that sonnets weren't just limited to Shakespeare, and I'd read other good sonnets, but I was going into researching for this episode wondering, are there any good, you know, contemporary sonnets? So I sort of wanted to look into that a little bit, and I use this as sort of an opportunity to do so. If we look at the definition of a sonnet from the Poetry Foundation's website, it has three basic requirements. It's 14 lines, it uses iambic pentameter, and it has a rhyme scheme. Obviously there's the Shakespearean one, which is each stanza having its sort of own contained rhyme scheme. Or there's the Petrarchan sonnets, where the first two stanzas have their own rhyme scheme, and then the third, has its own sort of section. Petrarchan is the kind that's broken up into 8 lines and 6, rather than the Shakespearean 3 lots of 4 and then 2. I know I've been saying stanza, but it's not always necessarily a stanza, it's just sort of about how it breaks up in the poem. Is from Christina Rossetti, and it's called Remember. Remember me when I am gone away, gone far away into the silent land, when you can no more hold me by the hand, nor I half turn to go yet turning stay. Remember me when no more day by day you tell me of our future that you planned. Only remember me, you understand. It will be late to counsel then or pray. Yet if you should forget me for a while, and afterwards remember, do not grieve. For if the darkness and corruption leave a vestige of the thoughts that once I had, better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad. This poem is a Petrarchan sonnet. One of the cool things about it is that the 8-6 divide is a very clear split within the poem of the message that the speaker is sending to whoever is supposed to be on the receiving end, probably a lover of some kind. The first half of the poem, the first 8 lines, talks about being remembered and wanting to be remembered for that lover to hold on to the feelings that they had and to grieve, while the second half, the last 6 lines, it was not technically half, talks about moving on, like forgetting if that's what it takes to be happy again and to sort of move into a state of not being weighed down by the grief and being able to be happy and move on into the future, which is really interesting to use a sonnet for, because it's traditionally a sort of love form. And while this poem is talking about love, it's talking about moving on from one love to another from the perspective of the person who is being moved on from after they've died and gone. Poem clearly loves whoever it's addressed to, because they're saying that they would prioritise their happiness over being remembered in a way. Not to say that the receiver of the poem would ever truly forget, but the speaker is saying that they are happy for their lover to move on in the event of their death, which is, I guess, in a way, its own kind of love, being happy for someone else's happiness rather than just wanting their love to remain with the speaker, I guess. It's interesting, either way. The next poem I want to share is a lot more modern than Christina Rossetti's. Well, the last poem I shared was written in the Victorian period and was part of the Pre-Raphaelite movement. This one was from 2012, which is a lot more recent than a lot of sonnets that are really famous and really well known. It's called Love Song for Love Songs by Raphael Campo. A golden age of love songs and we still can't get it right. Does your kiss really taste like buttercream? To me, the moon's bright face was neither like a pizza pie nor full. The big wine began, but my eyelid twitched. No more I love yous, someone else assured us, pouring out her heart in love, of course. What bothers me the most is that high-pitched, undone whine of why am I so alone? Such rueful misery is close to the truth, but once you turn the lamp down low, you must admit that he is still the one, and baby, baby, he makes you so dumb, you sing in the shower at the top of your lungs. This poem's really fun for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's a sonnet, which is a traditional love form, talking about modern love songs. It's really fun, and I mean, it amuses me in a way that I find unexplainable. It also, like, it weirdly takes that stance of, like, yeah, these love songs don't make sense. They don't, like, perfectly explain the situation of every relationship. They don't make logical sense in the way that they explain things, but it's still an expression of love. Like, even though it criticizes that element of them, it does still, like, talk about the way that people relate to them in a really, like, fluid way that's really simple, but still understands, like, the strangeness of that whole arrangement. It's also really interesting that it uses the sonnet, which is an old expression of love, to talk about a newer expression of love. I mean, the sonnet was a really heavily used, you know, structure for poems about love. Like, probably the primary one, as far as I can think off the top of my head. And there are a lot of modern day pop songs about romantic relationships. You don't get as many poems in the mainstream anymore about love. You get a song instead. So it's really interesting to use one form from the past, as it were. Although, you know, it never really died because people still use it to this day, as is clear by this poem. Talk about basically its modern day equivalent. It's really amusing to me, and in a way I don't think I can explain other than that it's fun and interesting, and it makes this really interesting play on, you know, trends and time. And I mean, in and of itself, criticizing the pop songs but also being like, well, we still sing them and we still enjoy them and we still feel the things that are in the poems enough, the songs enough to feel them in our heart. It's really fun. I just like it. It's good. So that's the end. Thank you all for listening. I think it was really fun for me personally to look at more modern sonnets, and I just picked out one, talked about it and read it. That's not to say I didn't find some other ones that were really fun, really amusing. It's often hard to see beyond what is the most well-known or the most popular unless you sort of dedicate a bit of time to looking beyond the trees. No, that's the wrong way to say it. Looking beyond the forest to see the trees. But I had a good time. I mean, I found some really fun ones. Obviously, I only talked about one in this episode, but there is some really great modern sonnets, like contemporary sonnets out there. So if anyone, like, enjoyed the one that I read, there's a bunch more. You just gotta look for them. But yeah, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you'll be out next time. That's it. Thank you for listening again. Next time on Poetry Tavern, we're going to be talking about acrostic poems.